Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4, we'll read verses 23 through 25 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And let's finish on verse 25 together. Ready? And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for what you do for us. Lord, it's good. So many times a week, week after week after week, we get together as your family. We get to sit around the book that you have written for us, hear our preacher open it to us, and teach us a truth about you that could not just change our lives, but change the future and eternity for many. Pray tonight, Father, that you'd fill our preacher with your power. May we listen with your power so we could go out and do what you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to call the sermon tonight, What is Missing in America? What is missing in America? We read a passage of Scripture just a moment ago found in Matthew chapter 4. The passage speaks of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he went about all of Galilee teaching. He went about all of Galilee preaching and healing and helping people. Now, as a result of this, it says that the multitudes followed him. They followed him from the area of Galilee. They followed him from the area of Decapolis. They followed him from the area of Jerusalem and the areas of Judea and beyond Jordan. The Bible says that his fame spread throughout all of Syria. So here you have Jesus, and he's going about teaching and preaching and healing and helping people. And people from every area were following him. And the followership snowballed, and it built up momentum. The Bible uses the term multitudes began to follow him. Of course, Jesus was the greatest leader ever. The Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us how to lead. And so you know, you can get all the leadership manuals that you want. You can go to West Point. You can get every leadership manual that's produced by every corporate executive on the face of this earth, and none of them compare to the old black book. This is the greatest leadership manual ever written by God. And God, he's got the corner on the market when it comes to leadership. The Bible says that great multitudes followed Jesus Christ, the man God. It says in Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36, that the multitudes followed him. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 28 through Matthew chapter 8, verse number 1, that great multitudes followed him. The words great multitudes, again in Matthew 12, verse 13 through 15, the words great multitudes are found again in Matthew 19, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, for there were many, and they followed him. In Mark chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, it says, much people followed him. In John chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, a great multitude followed him. Over and over and over again, it talked about a great multitude following Jesus Christ. Now, why did they follow him? And so you know, he did not have to force his leadership. You do not see where Jesus was practicing dictatorial type leadership. They chose to follow him. Why did they do that? Well, there's some reasons, I think. I think that some of the reasons why they followed him, and a multitude followed him, and many, many followed him, and a great multitude followed him, I think there are some reasons. I think that Jesus knew something that they did not know, and they wanted to know it. So they followed him. Obviously, his Bible teaching and his knowledge of God and the Bible was amazing. So they heard him teach and they said, he knows something. We'll follow him because we want to find out what he knows. They want to know what was in that mind of God. And so they followed him because Jesus knew something that they did not know. And they wanted to know it. Why else did they follow Jesus? Well, I think Jesus had something that they did not have, and they wanted to have it. What do you mean? What could that mean? Jesus had something that they did not have, and they wanted to have it. Well, one thing, he had the ability to pray and to get his prayers answered. Now, I don't know about you, but if I found out that somebody knew how to get something from God, I'd want to figure out how to get it. And I think that happened. He had other spiritual abilities. He had something that they did not have, and they wanted it, so they followed him, hoping that they could get what he had. He knew something that they did not know, and they wanted to know it, so they followed him, hoping to know what he knew. Something else. I think they followed Jesus because Jesus had done something that they had not done, and they wanted to be able to do it. You know, I mean, you look at the works of Jesus Christ, and they said, look at that. Look at the works that that man does. If we got around him, maybe we could learn to do works like that for God. In John 14, 12, it says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. It actually even goes on to say, and greater works shall you do. So why did they follow Jesus? Well, I think they followed him because he had done something that they had not done, and they wanted to be able to do it. His works grew his followers. So when we begin to analyze the leadership of Jesus Christ, we begin to wonder why great multitudes followed him, why they thronged him, why they pressed upon him. We see that Jesus knew something that they did not know, and they wanted to know it. We see that Jesus had something that they did not have, and they wanted to have it. We see that Jesus had done something that they had not done, and they wanted to learn how to do it. Fourthly, I see that Jesus knew somebody well that they did not know well, and they wanted to learn how to know him well. And who is that? That was God the Father. They knew by being around Jesus, they knew he had been with God. They knew that he knew God. They knew that he was intimate with God. They knew that he was close to God. And they said, we've not been close to God like that, but you've been close to God like that. And we want to learn how we can be close to God like that. See, Jesus knew somebody well that they did not know well, and they wanted to learn how to know him well. Hey, I'm learning here what it was that caused the multitude to be attracted to the leadership of Jesus Christ. Remembering, it was not dictatorial leadership. It was not threatening leadership. It was not just positional leadership. It was leadership of equality. What quality? Well, Jesus knew something they did not know, and they wanted to know it. Jesus had something that they did not have, and they wanted to have it. Jesus had done something that they had not done, and they wanted to be able to do it. Jesus knew somebody well that they did not know well, and they wanted to know how to know God well. I see something else that attracted people to Jesus Christ. Jesus was going somewhere on purpose, and they wanted to go somewhere on purpose as well. They want to learn how to do it. You see, they wanted to follow someone who had the big picture in his mind. They wanted to follow someone that had eternity in view. See, the human race becomes pretty short-sighted. Sometimes we can't even make it through the day without thinking it's all over with. And then we let the weeks become the end of life. But there's an eternity out there before us. And I think when they got around Jesus, Jesus thought past this day and past this week and past this year. He thought past this life. And he looked into eternity and he said, folks, let me tell you what's on the horizon. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, I can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Jesus said, this life's not going to last long. We're going to get to the other shore. And folks, it's going to be bliss, and heaven is there. And there's great things in store for us. And people said, we like that. We like that. We don't like that thing of adding life pile on top of you where you can't see beyond this day and this week and this year. They needed someone. You see, Jesus was going somewhere and on purpose. And they wanted to go somewhere on purpose, and they wanted to learn how it was done. They needed a leader with eternity in view. Now, these qualities right here are the qualities that produced the followers of Jesus Christ. You just check. These things are what attracted people to him. These qualities produce followers. And these qualities produce followers, and followers produce leaders. Did you know something? You can't be a leader unless you have followers. And the followers have to make the choice, not the leader. Leaders can't make followers follow. Followers choose their leaders. On what? Based on their qualities. Based on their qualities. You see, fellowship produces leadership. You know, I've seen these qualities in some great human beings. I've seen some of these qualities in some great Christian leaders, for instance. Dr. Oliver B. Green, he knew something that others did not know. How many of you have ever heard of the evangelist, Dr. Oliver B. Green? Will you raise your hand? Most of you have. Had a radio ministry, traveled the country, produced books. Some of the only commentaries that I trust, and I don't read any commentaries much, but if you pick up of an Oliver B. Green commentary, you're going to get a lot of good Bible. That's just all there is to it. You know, there were people that followed Dr. Oliver B. Green. Why? He knew something they did not know. Anybody that knows him, you would say that was the outstanding quality of Dr. Oliver B. Green. He knew the Bible like very few knew the Bible. And so people were attracted to him. Then, another quality. Someone that had something that others did not have. Dr. John R. Rice could get a hold of God. Dr. John R. Rice was a praying man. Dr. John R. Rice, I think, he wrote the most famous book on prayer written in the history of America, at least. It's called Asking and Receiving. What a great and powerful book. Again, how many of you, I know you've heard of Dr. Rice, but let me start out this way. How many of you ever personally heard Dr. Rice preach? Will you raise your hand? Amen. Many of you. How many of you have heard of Dr. Rice? Now raise your hand, and that adds a lot more. Listen, there were people that followed Dr. Rice. Let me tell you something about Dr. Rice. I've been around Dr. Rice. And if you got around Dr. Rice, he did not have this dynamic, bombastic personality. He wasn't like that. When I preach, I start in first gear and I can shift into fourth in about 3 seconds. And then I preach about fourth gear all the way through. Now, Dr. Rice wasn't necessarily like that. He wasn't real loud. He wasn't real bombastic. His personality didn't overwhelm you. But I'll tell you something. Dr. Rice could get a hold of God. He had something that others did not have, and they desired to be around him because they wanted to learn how to get it. You see, Dr. Oliver B. Green, he knew something others did not know, and people wanted to get around him so they could know it. You take, for instance, I told you Jesus had the quality. He had done something others had not done. I had the privilege of being around Dr. Jack Hiles. He had built a phenomenal church, just a phenomenal work for God. People came around. Why? They wanted to know how to do it. He had done something that others had not done, so they wanted to get around him so they could learn how to do it. But Brother Green knew something others did not know, and they wanted to get around him so they could know it. Dr. John R. Rice, he had something that others did not have, and so they wanted to get around him so they could learn how to get it. You take Brother Lester Roloff. How many of you ever heard Brother Roloff preach? Boy, what a great preacher, and what a powerful preacher. If I were to tell you what I think the greatest quality of Dr. Roloff was, it was this. He walked with God. He just walked with God. When it comes to his ability to preach and organize a sermon, I was told one time he used an outline. He wrote down 4 words on a 3x5 card, and that was his outline. He didn't use an outline. You take my outline away from me, I'm lost. I couldn't preach. Brother Roloff, he was an amazing man. You could always tell where Brother Roloff was in his personal Bible reading. That's where he would preach his sermons from. If you heard Brother Roloff preach in January, he's going to preach to you from Genesis or Exodus. If you heard him preach in February, it may be Leviticus or Numbers. If you hear him preach in December, get ready. You're going to get hit with the book of Revelation. Why? That's where he was walking with God in his daily walk with God, so that is where he preached from. But he had the power of God on him. He knew someone like others did not know that someone. So people flocked around Brother Roloff because they wanted to be around someone that knew someone that they did not know so they might learn more about him. And who are we talking about? Of course, his walk with God. Hey, There's someone that's going somewhere. It's still alive. The only one of these is still alive. You all know that we had invited Dr. Carl Hatch to come back to our church for this most recent Old Paths Conference. He wasn't able to come because his health has deteriorated. So, but I'm going to tell you something. Dr. Hatch would draw crowds of people. They liked to be around him, and I'll tell you why. He was all the time concerned about eternity. All the time. Hey, Dr. Hatch will go down in history for Mr. Soul Winner. Always winning people to Christ. You go to a restaurant with Brother Hatch, he'd win the waitress to the Lord. You go to the restroom with Brother Hatch, he's walking along the stalls, putting gospel tracts, knocking on the door, saying, "Can I give you a tract to read? Can I give you a tract to read?" I'm not exaggerating. If you ever preach with Dr. Carl Hatch, you better make dead sure you have gospel tracts in your pocket on the platform, because he'll go around and check, and he will deem you a liberal if you don't have gospel tracts. You better tell people about Jesus Christ. People flocked to, they were associated with, they were attracted to Dr. Carl Hatch. Why? Because he is someone that was going somewhere. He had that eternal view. He was looking into eternity. And so people flocked to Jesus. Why? He knew something they did not know, and they wanted to know it. Jesus had something they did not have, and they wanted to have it. Jesus had done something that they had never done, and they wanted to learn how to do it. Jesus knew somebody that they did not know well, and they wanted to get to know him well. Jesus was going somewhere, and on purpose, and they wanted to go to that place, and on purpose. Humans develop these very same qualities. Now I come to the sermon. Now let's ask ourselves, what's wrong with America? Look at the insecurity in our nation in the last 6 months. The last years. Look at the how directionless. Look at America. You say, "What, Brother Owens, in your opinion, what's wrong with America?" Well, I don't think we have a whole lot of leadership in America. I don't see a lot of leadership among the ranks of those that are leading our country. We don't have a Douglas MacArthur. You know, we hesitated to vote for either one of the presidential candidates. I can tell you how many people said, "I don't know what to do." I hope you didn't choose not to vote, because I think we need to vote to keep the power of the vote. But you say, "Brother Owens, did you vote and were you happy?" I voted, but I wasn't happy. But I did it because it was my right, it was my privilege and my responsibility. But I can tell you this, I didn't look at any of the presidential candidates. Even before they elected the nominee for the party, I didn't look at any of them and say, "Well, I'm happy." I did not. Why? Because I think there is a dearth of leadership in America. We didn't have an Abraham Lincoln, a George Washington, and if you'll allow me, a Ronald Reagan. I know he started out in Hollywood, but he came out on top. He was a pretty good president. I personally think one of the finest presidents the United States of America ever had. And if our current administration would practice some of the economic policies of Ronald Reagan, I believe that we could pull ourselves out of this thing. But my concern is that there is a dearth of leadership in America. The big business, corporate executives, the CEOs have led us into an economic fiasco. Why? Poor leadership. Poor leadership. We don't trust them. People don't want to follow the corporate executives. Why? Well, they're in it for themselves. Our Senate seems to have a famine of leadership. Our House of Representatives seems to have a lack of leadership. Our stock market suffers, and they say it is because of a lack of confidence. If you listen, they'll say the economic situation and the stock market suffers because of a lack of confidence. A lack of confidence in what? Let me sum it up for you. Lack of confidence in the leadership of the United States of America. It's a lack of confidence in the leadership of the United States of America. The auto industry needs another Lee Iacocca, somebody that will step up to the plate and say, "This is how you do it. This is where we're going. This won't work. This will work." And stop sidestepping all the issues. When corporate executives have to do all their politicking, there's a problem. America is starved for true leadership. Say, what do you mean? What we need in the leadership of America is somebody that knows something, somebody that has done something, somebody that has something, someone that knew someone, somebody that's going somewhere. That's what we're looking for. I even believe fundamentalism is a bit directionless and somewhat in the same plight. And I say, Something's missing in America. What is missing in America? Leadership. Leadership is missing in America. Now you listen to me for just a few more minutes, and I won't be long, but let me tell you something. I believe this. I believe, number one, America needs to turn back to God. The leadership that America is hungry for is the same leadership, the same type of leadership that made this country great. Back when this was one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, this nation was strong. We were not panicked. We were not so scared all the time. The further we get away from God, the further we get away from security and confidence in America. Jesus is the ultimate answer for the lack of confidence in America. Listen, folks, you can count on God. You can count on God. He will never let you down. If He says it, you can go to the bank on it. So I say America needs to turn back to God. I say, secondly, I believe that this is a perfect time in history for soul winning and church building. This is a perfect time in history for soul winning and church building. Some say it's the worst time. I say it's the best time. Some say we're going down. I say you could be going up right now. You say, why? People are looking for answers. We have the answer. I know what they're looking for. I can tell you what every drunk out there, every drunk is looking for. They're looking for a satisfaction that only Jesus can provide. I can tell you what every drug addict is truly looking for. They're looking for something to heal their hurt. Hey, Jesus is the answer. I can tell you where confidence comes from. Confidence comes from being right with your Maker and having God on your side. So some say this is the worst time. I say it is the best time. People are looking for something to follow. People are looking for something to follow. Hey, the American public, while we were going through the election, everybody was glued to the televisions and glued to the campaigns. Let me tell you why. We want to follow. We want to be safe. We want someone to step up and lead. And we were petrified as we looked at the possibility.
Yes. Yes.
Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
What's wrong in America? What's missing in America? Leadership is missing in America. And right now, I believe it's a perfect time for soul winning and church building because people want to follow. Hey, let's give them the leader of leaders. Let's give them to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's get some confidence back in America. Let's strike while the iron's hot. Get people into church. They're starved for security. People are just flat out starved for security. They want security for their future. Hey, can anybody offer a more secure future than Jesus? I mean, you're talking about secure. People say, oh, look at everything falling apart. You're still smiling. Well, I say, I happen to know what's coming on the horizon. I've got something to smile about. People are looking for security. You know what? You and I, we have security. What should we do with it right now? Let's let people know we've got it. I mean, there are benefits to being a Christian. Let's let people see that we are confident. Confident in what, Brother Owens? Confident in the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We are confident in the one that makes the decision whether we go to heaven or hell. I am confident in my Savior. Right now, I think it is the best time for soul winning and the best time for church building. You see, people are searching for something in which to invest their faith. I mean, they're searching. Everybody, listen. Everybody in the stock market is looking for something to have faith in. Promise you. The minute the market opens on Monday morning, there are going to be people glued to the television and glued to their monitors looking for something to put their faith in. Put your faith in God. That brings security. You see, I think, number one, America needs to turn back to God. I think, number two, this is a perfect time for soul winning and church building because people are looking for something secure. People are looking for something in which they should invest their faith. They're looking for answers. We have the answers. Let's get the word out. Other churches will go down. because they get sucked into the depression of the world. We are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We ought to be helping people to get up, not getting pulled down with them into all that depression. And so this is the perfect time for soul winning and church building. Thirdly, let me say, churches and church leaders need to provide the answers for which people seek. People are seeking. You and I have the answers. Let's give them the answers. Let's do our part. Let's do our part as a church. Let's do our part as American citizens. Let's do our part as Christians. But I believe churches and church leaders need to provide the answers which people seek. You say, well, Brother Owens, what are people seeking for? Let me tell you some of those things and we'll be done. And listen, moms, whether you understand or not, you're leaders. Dads, you're leaders. Sunday school teacher, you're a leader. Bus captain, you're a leader. Teacher, you're a leader. Some of you older young people, you older teenagers, you need to stop and realize something. You're a leader. Boy, some of you teenagers in the youth department, you better stop and realize there's some 4th, 5th, and 6th graders looking up to you. They respect you. They're looking for leadership from you. Hey, seniors, the junior class, they're looking up to you. They're looking up to you. They're watching. They need leadership. We need to provide people with the answers for which they seek. What are those things? Well, I think we need to provide them with some confidence. Some confidence. You know, folks, God is not asleep, nor is he dead. Be confident. Did you know a lack of confidence won't help you? My God knows my situation, and that makes me pretty confident. You obey his word, and he is honor-bound to do what he promises. We need to portray confidence. And I'm not talking about arrogance, but if God's alive, then he's still my God. He's alive, and he promised that he'd watch out for me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, this book is God's word. This is no time to get people to doubt the word of God. This is a time to make people believe in the word of God. This book has the answers. So what should you and I do? Churches, church leadership, Christians, we should provide confidence to those around us. Confidence about the things that we have been promised by God. Let me tell you something else we should do. I think we should provide direction. Folks, keep coming to church. Stay faithful. Now's not the time to drop out. There are people around you that need to see that you are a person of direction. Direction. Remember, Jesus was going somewhere. He was going there on purpose. And the people said, I'm going with him. At least he knows where he's going. Do you know how mixed up the American public is right now? They're virtually walking in circles. One day they're going to do this. The next day they're going to do that. We're going to solve the problem this way, then that way. And we're saying, what in the world is going on here? They need somebody that's got their eyes set on the finish line. I'm going that direction. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to plow through it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to take it. I'm moving on. That's what America needs. And America needs that from you and I. I can't change all of America. I just need to change the part of it God's asked me to influence. You can't change it all, but you better influence the part that you can influence. How? By providing confidence. By providing direction. Look, folks, let me give you a little direction about your life right now. Work hard. Don't waste. Work hard. Don't waste. That'll get you through some of the rockiest times. You say, what should I do? What should I do? Work hard and don't waste. Work hard and don't waste. Stay on the path of the old-time religion. You set your sights on staying right with God, staying faithful in church. I was very, very flattered. A man said to me, a preacher said to me, he said, Brother Owens, I've been into your church a couple times. I've talked to your people. I've talked to others that know your church. He said, I'm amazed at the low turnover rate in your church. Amazed. He said, there are so many people that come, join your church, and they just stay. He said they're not flip-flopping all over the place, catching the first bus out of town every time you turn around. He says everywhere I go, churches, they just zigzag. They're up and down and up and down and up and down. He said, somebody said to me, that is one of the most stable churches we've ever seen. Now, folks, that is exactly what Martinsburg, West Virginia needs to see. That's what the state of West Virginia needs to see. That's what the East Coast needs to see. That's what America needs to see. A group of old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist Christians that said, we know where we're going. We know how we're going to get there. And it doesn't matter what the world does. We're not going to back off, shut up, be shut down. We're going forward. We have a direction. We are confident in what we're doing for God. Don't panic now. Don't get sucked into the world's insecurities. We know where we're going. We know how we're going to get there. We know what we're supposed to do on the way. Be confident. Be confident. Let's provide direction and for each other. Look, if somebody around us gets a little unstable and a little shaky, help them to calm down. Get them back on track. Let's help one another. Thirdly, I think we should provide stability. Don't panic. Don't run. Did you know you and God make a majority? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, the only thing I worried about for the week that I was gone, I just want everybody to stay stable. I'd watch the news and some other kook would come on with something else that's going to destroy the world. And the only thing I wish that I could be here to say, don't you worry about that. Don't you get all panicked. Don't you pack your bags and run on God. You stay stable. Stay stable. Stay stable. Stay stable. That's what this world needs to see. You know, at times like these, Christians are supposed to shine. It's times like these that people ought to look at us and say, there's something different about you. There's something different about that congregation. There's something different about that leader. There's something different about that family. There's something different. We should provide stability. You and I as Christians should provide confidence to those around us. You and I should provide direction to those around us and stability to those around us. I think you and I should provide some insight. So what are these? All these things are the qualities of leadership. These are the things that Jesus provided. Jesus provided insight. You know something? No matter what happens in America, if you're saved, it's going to be all right. It's all going to turn out fine. You say, well, what will I have to go through before I get here? Once you get to heaven, it won't matter what you went through. You won't look back and say, boy, that was rough. Oh, you'll say, boy, this is good. It's like visiting your mother-in-law. On the way home, you're just glad you're on the way home. Folks, it'll be okay. We've got to get some insight. It'll be okay. Jesus will come again. I don't know when He'll come again. I know there are people, and some of you better be careful you don't run off the deep end. I mean, there are people that have Jesus coming back next week, and you know they're already borrowing money that they should not borrow, and they're going to go in debt $1 million and let the devil pay it off. The Apostle Paul thought that Jesus was coming back in his day. There are others that have thought Jesus was coming back in their day. And if everybody's looking to say, I think it's today, it probably won't be, because it'll be in a day and an hour when you think not. But until then, we're caught. Don't waste. Keep your sight on the finish line. We're just going to work until Jesus comes. We sing the song, work till Jesus comes. I could not tell you how many churches across America have virtually thrown in the towel. You can't get anything done today, and we are an irritant to them. They hate hearing it. Everybody's that's taking their ball, and they're going home, and they're done playing, and they say it can't be done in this day and age. All of a sudden, a country church comes along and says, you can, you can, you can. It can be done today. You can get people saved today. You can have revival today. They almost don't want to hear it. It'd be easier to coast home. Well, I don't care if we have to pedal uphill. Let's pedal uphill all the way to the end. You see, we should provide insight. You and I should provide confidence and direction and stability. I think we should provide a cause. There's a lost world out there that needs to be saved. Let's reach them. Our children and our grandchildren, that's part of the cause. Our country, that's part of the cause. Folks, there's a cause. That there are yet people that need to be saved. What kind of a nation will our children and our grandchildren have if we don't keep on going? We've got to provide a cause. It's worth it. Some of the sacrifice. I am not going to give up on America. I'm just flat out not going to do it. If I am the last lunatic in America shouting, you can still have revival, I plan to shout it all the way to the grave or to jail. We can still reach America. But I think we should provide a cause. I think we should provide sincere, trustworthy leadership. There's not much you and I can do about those that lead in our capital. But you and I could provide at our level sincere, trustworthy leadership. Not perfect leadership. No man could be perfect. No woman could be perfect in their leadership. They could be sincere. And I mean, I'm talking about leadership for the right reason. Wise, on purpose leadership. Leadership that is led by principle and truth, not by emotion and whims. But I think we should provide leadership. Sincere, trustworthy leadership. I also think we should provide a certain amount of success. You know, while things around us are failing and everyone seems negative, isn't it wonderful to come to church and find out everything's going great around here? Pretty refreshing, isn't it? Turn television off, find out the whole world's going to die tomorrow and figure out we're all going to live forever. Isn't it refreshing to know that everything's falling apart financially on everybody everywhere, but we're still paying our bills around here? Let's show the world Christian success. Hey, keep your marriage successful. Why? The world needs to see it right now. Keep your attitude sweet and positive and successful. Why? The world needs to see it right now. Keep your faith in God so they can see the source of your success. Keep your work for God successful. I'll tell you, not as a vanity issue. We ought to be talking to people about what God's doing around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We ought to be telling everybody. We ought to be telling everybody. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to be telling everybody about the blessings. Why? All they hear about is all the churches that are folding up and going down and nobody wants to come and no attendance and you got to change what you believe to get anybody to come this day. You got to become like the world. And that is not true. It is not true. It is not true. And we ought to be telling people about the successes of our church. Tell them, hey, talk to people about your successes in your soul winning. Not to exalt yourself as a soul winner, but the fact that the Holy Spirit and God are still saving people. We ought to talk about our successes in our Sunday school classes and talk about our successes on our bus routes. Talk about our successes in our answers to prayer. And talk about I enjoy telling people that our offerings are strong around here. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy doing that. I love doing that. There are some people, there are pastors that come here to visit every once in a while, and the most refreshing thing they hear from me is not my sermon. It's the fact that I get up and I say, you know what? You stand in the midst of a faithful people, and today our bills are paid, and I don't have to beg the people for money, and some pastors go, I'm going to have a heart attack. I didn't know that was possible. People need to know about the successes. Talk about them. I'm watching some churches who are allowing the world's fatalistic attitude to affect the church's victorious attitude. I'm the kind of guy that believes if the score's 100-2 and I'm down by 98, that I can still make a comeback. And I'll play hard to the end of the game. I don't throw in the towel. I play hard all the way to the end. But guess what? That's not the score. We're ahead that way. Why? We're on the winning side. I recently had a Christian businessman who said to me, he said, Jeff Owens, I'll give you $100,000 if you'll start a Bible college. And if you'll teach people how to do what your people are doing. He said, now I want you to find a couple other businessmen to match it. But he said, I guarantee it. I'll write you a $100,000 check the day you tell me you'll start a Bible college. Why would anybody want to be giving money away right now? Unless it were a good investment. You know what America needs? It needs leadership. America needs the leadership of Jesus Christ again. America needs the leadership of the Bible again. America needs the leadership of some Christians that walk with that God and believe that book and stand up and say it can be done. It can be done, and I'll do my part. That's what America needs. That's what America needs. I just ask myself, what's missing in America? And I think what's missing in America is biblical leadership. We're not going to get it. And if it's not going to come from outside these walls, let you and I provide it for each other. And let's let a lost and dying world see that, hey, you know something? You can be with someone they've not been with. You can accomplish something they haven't accomplished. You can know something that they don't know. You can know someone that they don't know. You can have all that. You know what will happen? People come to our church and be a part of it. They say, I know where I'm going. They're going somewhere. They know where they're going, why they're going. They know with who they're going. They know the passageway. America is directionless. Christians are not. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God's got something wonderful for us, folks. While others are scared to death in these days, in this age, I'm so happy. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. There are going to be churches, and I'm not for it, but there will be churches shut down. People have to come here because their church shut down because they gave up. Let everybody know, we're not shutting down around here. We're moving on. We're moving on. God is still alive. What's missing in America? I think the right kind of leadership, and you and I are responsible in our area of influence to practice that type of leadership. Not in an effort to be a leader, but in an effort to help others. So that if you're here this evening and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we welcome you to the Savior.